League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Now back to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
What's the one question you want to know from D'Amico at his press conference at 3:59 tomorrow? We'll get to that in a little bit. 713-780-ESPN, the HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. But let's go out to the HRMP listener line, get Thomas in here. Thomas, you're in the Hive with the Killer Bees. What's up?
What's going on, guys? I was just calling in. We're talking about the draft and, you know, being sure on what quarterback to get or, you know, what OC fits or all that kind of stuff. And so, I mean, I think I've heard it around. So I guess how would it feel now if we're not so sure on any of these three quarterbacks? How would it sound now that D'Amico gets to focus on building his defense, getting whatever players that might entail? And then, you know, maybe getting a more developmental quarterback done, you know, in this draft and then, you know, kicking the ball down the road, maybe get a veteran quarterback. I'm not sure, but I'm just saying now that we're all going all in on D'Amico and, you know, getting hyped up about it, why not let the man take care of his defense? And that way you can plug with the Jimmy Garoppolo or whatever veterans down, you know, in future years when you're closer to contending until you find that go-to quarterback, can't miss quarterback. I'll hang up and listen.
Appreciate it, Thomas. I'm a fan of that. I'm a fan of that idea. The one hesitation that I would have and the one area where I would disagree with that logic is I don't want a bridge quarterback, though. I don't want Jimmy Garoppolo. I don't want David Carr's brother. I want Boomer Bust. If Boomer Bust is Hendon Hooker in the third, if Boomer Bust is trading for Trey Lance, even though Brock Purdy is going to need Tommy John, by the way. If it means Trey Lance, it means Trey Lance. If it means Jordan Love because they're bringing back Rodgers for some reason. If it even means Zach Wilson. Like, I'd rather have Zach Wilson, the quarterback of the Houston Texans in 2023, than Jimmy Garoppolo.
We talked about it yesterday. Yeah. I'm with you on that because I don't want a veteran quarterback that's trying to win next year so that he can find his next home and one more contract.
Every quarterback's going to try to win.
But I mean, to the level of...
Right, it's more likely for Garoppolo to win games than Zach Wilson.
Right.
Like, I say boom or bust. Even if it's a 90% chance it's a bust, I don't care.
No, but what I'm saying is, and it's kind of what we broke down yesterday, Jimmy Garoppolo knows what he knows a lot more than a young quarterback. So he's going to know things about the defense. He's going to know things about blitz packages. He's going to know things about what teams do, tendencies he sees, and other things that young guys are still learning. So that's why we don't want that kind of quarterback next year. We either want it cut and dried that, oh my goodness, they found the guy that never got a fair shot, and once he got it in the right system, look at him go. You want to see a guy like, not Geno Smith, because he had six of those chances before one finally worked out for him. But you want to find a guy that in his first stop, it just wasn't the right place at the right time. But the minute that he got into a place where he was comfortable, the coaches were comfortable, and the system fit him, that he could go and run with it. And you could say, hey, you know what? I can build around that guy. Maybe I don't need to draft another quarterback. And if I get him on the cheap and I can use him to do that, because on the flip side, like we talked about, if he falls flat on his face, he does you a solid because now you don't have to embrace the suck. He's doing it for you.
Right. Yeah, that's I don't want a veteran QB. I want somebody who's boom or bust. If it's Hooker, if it's, you know, Trey Lance, Jordan Love, Zach Wilson. Like, you get Zach Wilson for a fourth because they have Aaron Rodgers. Yeah, let's run him out there for 17 games. Let's see if he's any good. If he's not, cool. I got Caleb Williams, Drake May. If he's good, you just got to steal.
Yeah, no,
so give me boom bust. Don't give me the veteran QB. But I'm totally fine going to defensive route for D'Amico. Like, you can make a lot of sense that it's the right way to go. You can make, okay, build up the rest of the team and then go get that quarterback, whether it's veteran, whether it's a rookie. And if it's a rookie, then you have them on the rookie scale. I'm a fan of that. In fact, there's one, like, I want one of four players in this draft, and I don't want to trade up. Personally, I don't want to trade up.
I don't either.
Because I have four guys on my top tier that I'd be happy with any of them. Two quarterbacks, Bryce Young, Will Levis, two defensive players. players, Jalen Carter, Will Anderson. You give me one of those four guys, I'm going to be happy. But the difference might be Caserio and D'Amico might have one player on their tier one. Maybe it's Bryce Young. And if they only have one player on their tier one, that's where a trade-up comes into play, which I wouldn't be a fan of it because I'm just as happy with any of those four that I just mentioned. What is the one question you would like to ask D'Amico? You want to know from D'Amico tomorrow at his 3:59 press conference, 713-780-ESPN, the HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. What is it for you? What's the one question?
I got
question?
A lot of them. I have several. I mean, I'm thinking...
Which is the best of the bunch?
What were the first impressions that you got from Cal McNair when you met with him on the Zoom chat?
Yeah.
See, because of the Sean Payton angle, I'd like to know... Because, again...
The problem, though, but like for that question is, like, that's a truth serum question. That's like after a few gentle bends.
Well, he also doesn't want to answer that, right, getting off to a good start with the organization.
Yeah, 3:59 tomorrow, whenever he's on his P's and his Q's, he'd be like, oh, it's great. I love Cal. You know what I mean? Like, that's a good truth serum question.
Yeah, that, and it would also be one where, like, you worked with Cal's dad. Now you're working with Cal. Can you explain the pluses? Not even the pluses, minuses. What are the differences? So if he's not going to answer that, then my question would be centered around the offensive coordinator. My questions would be, what are you looking for this offense and for an offensive coordinator? Are you looking for a guy that's called plays before? What are some of your criteria to get the right guy for this job?
Yeah, I think that's a good question to ask D'Amico. I'm curious, like, how much he'd be willing to go into that with the ongoing process. But that's another one. Like, I would really be interested in what his philosophy is going to be on the offensive side of the ball, because you have a good feel of what it's going to be defensively. We saw him call plays defensively in San Francisco these last 2 years and put it like his own wrinkles on the way it looked like before that with Robert Saleh.
After watching in your first time ever as a head coach, right, this with your first go around, after watching Nathaniel Hackett in Denver, are there certain things that you're going to do to assure that you have all your boxes covered in terms of the head coaching, because you'll be focused on defense, in terms of the quality control and all the other things, because we saw Hackett fail miserably.
Are you going to call plays?
That too.
I mean, that's I think, one that you would be a question that you're going to get at some point and an answer you're going to get at some point, but I'd like to know that from the start. Like, okay, are you going to call plays defensively? Because if he's calling plays defensively, I don't care who he hires as a defensive coordinator.
I was going to say, you're going to still hire a defensive coordinator, so it's like Lovey hiring his son. I mean, that was a formality to just go, oh, I got someone for the job, but are you going to hire someone that can assist you on the day-to-day during the week sometimes so you can focus more on the head coach?
Right, and they've put in requests to interview people for their defensive coordinator, but like, I haven't even looked at that list as closely, because if D'Amico's calling plays defensively, I don't really care that much who the DC is. Now, if D'Amico says I'm giving up play calling, all of a sudden I'm looking at the defensive coordinator spot almost as closely as I'm looking at the offensive coordinator spot. So that's what I want to know with D'Amico. Are you going to be calling plays defensively?
The big thing for why we're not as concerned with the defensive coordinator is because the assumption's always been, with the exception of our show and some of the discussions we've had, I think, for the most part, is the assumption is they're going offense with the number two pick and they're trying to get a quarterback. But if they would go defense and if they'd go the route that we're talking about, now the defensive coordinator position becomes a little bit more important too, because like I said, even if D'Amico calls the plays, you're going to need someone that's developing these kids on a day-to-day basis at practice.
713-780-ESPN. What's the one question you want to answer from D'Amico tomorrow at 3:59, 713-780-3776. Joe George, do you have a question you'd like D'Amico to answer?
Yeah, D'Amico, I know you said it's your dream job, but the Texans have been terrible for 2 years. So besides the fact that you played here, why is it a dream job?
Good question.
And I think he would answer that.
You know why? I think he would. I think it's a great question. But you know part of the intrigue for me? You know what part of the intrigue for me is too, though? Like, if I'm D'Amico Ryans, I'm building this from the ground up. Like, you're not inheriting really any sort of players. Like, you're inheriting a few rookies like Jalen Petrie, Derek Stingley, Christian Harris, Damian Pierce. Like, outside of that, everybody else is kind of expandable, right? Like, could you trade Laremy Tunsil for a first? Potentially. Could you not sign Titus Howard to a contract extension? Potentially. Now, you might be able to bring those guys back if D'Amico likes those guys. But D'Amico can literally shape this organization however he wants to shape it. From like a defensive point of view, you can draft a dude at every single defensive position that fits what you want to do. Offensively, look, D'Amico's going to have a philosophy offensively. He's going to have a way that he wants to play football offensively. He's going to hire an offensive coordinator that supplements that, supplements his plan on what he wants to do from the offensive side of the football. And he can go out and draft a player at every single position that's going to fit that team offensively. You're not inheriting anybody that's so good or so like high paid that you have to force the fit. I think that that's intriguing for a first-year head coach, is that I can shape this however I want. I'm getting a long runway of 6 years to do it however I want. I think that's very appealing for D'Amico Ryans.
No, I think it's a great question, Joe. I think that, you know, you should ask that.
And I appreciate that.
If he responds to you by using your name, then you should be very, very scared, because then he's taking too much out of the Bill O'Brien playbook.
Yeah. The other one, too, is, and this is Casario's fault, he offered up his own job in his press conference.
I think that's BS. And I don't think he was
serious.
But
the way he said it, someone's going to ask D'Amico tomorrow, was there any consideration to taking this job and
this
asking
Houston,
to bring
Joe.
In your own? Yeah, there's one guy who will ask it.
Who, Brian T. Smith?
Hell yeah. he's the only one.
I mean, Casario. He walked that down, though, the next day.
He did, yeah.
Even him on the first day with a new coach, I mean, he might put that in his back pocket. I don't think he asked that.
Brian T. Smith's column today on the Cron.
Yeah.
Actually, it's not the Cron, right? It's Houston Chronicle. There's a difference between the two. It confuses me.
Is there?
Yeah. Houston Chronicle and Cron.com are different.
Had no idea.
They're different. But anyways, Brian T. Smith wrote a very positive column today with D'Amico being home. Jerome wrote a very positive column with D'Amico being home, as they should, because D'Amico being home is a great thing. 713-780-ESPN. What's your question for D'Amico Ryans? What's the one thing you would want to ask him? 713-780-3776. Out to the HRMP listener line. Big C, you're in the Hive with the Killer Bees. What do you want to know from D'Amico?
Hey guys, how's it going?
What's up, Claire?
I would ask him, will he follow in his first coach's step being Gary Kubiak? And let me explain why. In 2006, he was the first pick in the second round. Y'all remember who the first pick in the first round was? Mario Williams. Gary Kubiak was at his first year, and he decided to get Mario Williams instead of Reggie Bush and Vince Young. Do you think he would follow that formula and go defense, or actually go and get a quarterback and build up upon that? Because I heard you talking, Jeremy, saying that you wouldn't get your offense coordinator or get your system in until you get a quarterback. I think that's backwards. I think you should get your offensive coordinator and then look at and evaluate all the quarterbacks that you're going to get, and then pick one and see which one who will run your system better.
That's what I did say. I did say it that way. Because you're hiring your OC before your draft pick.
Let's be real. We're not giving any tendencies or possibilities in the draft this early before the draft either. I mean, you'd like everybody to believe maybe that you're taking defense, or you don't have a quarterback in mind, or you're going to try and get off that. But with the draft, picking second with a pick in front of you, you're not giving away any secrets as to what you're thinking in the draft.
That's true. Like, from a practical point of view, D'Amico's not going to answer that question.
And Casario would be
no
like,
idea.
Yeah.
Casario would be kicking,
been a little
kicking
bit.
The table.
Well, like, Big C's question's a great one when you're at the bar having some gentle Ben. Like, that's a great question at the bar having some gentle Ben, the bourbon, the vodka, the gin, whatever the threes that you like. He's not going to answer that at a press conference, to your point. There's also some of the Gary Kubiak things when he took over. Like, he kind of took the job by lying to the McNair. He didn't lie to the McNairs, but he said he could win with David Carr. So, like, that's why they went defense, right? Like, that was a big influence of why he got the job. I can win with David Carr. We don't need to take quarterback. I can win with David Carr. So that was an influence there. Whereas the Texans don't have, like, D'Amico's not saying I can win with Davis Mills, and they're pot committed to Davis Mills. I am curious, though, in this negotiation, how much, if at all, and this is another one that he's not going to answer at a press conference, it's more with a bunch of General Ben, how much in this negotiation did the second pick of the draft come up? And how much would your influence
that's a great question.
Into the number two pick of the NFL draft? 713-780-ESPN.
I think it also is, as it relates to him taking the job, it's more big picture of what separated the Texans, aside from you playing here, what separated the Texans from some of the jobs with some of the teams that had maybe a more fortified roster.
Yeah, that's similar to Joe George's question a little bit, like, why is this your dream job? 713-780-3776. What's the question you want to hear from D'Amico? The answer to a question at his press conference tomorrow at 3:59. 713-780-ESPN, the HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
All teams covered, no talking points necessary. You're back with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
D'Amico press conference tomorrow, 3:59. We'll be joined a little bit later in the show by one of his former teammates, Travis Johnson. We'll talk to him a little bit later on. But right now we're asking you, what's the one question you would ask for D'Amico? What do you want to know from D'Amico Ryans at his 3:59 press conference tomorrow? 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. Eric the Driver says, what were you doing in the time between leaving NRG after the second interview and signing the contract?
I like it.
It's a good question.
It's a really good question.
Having a really good lunch. Having a really good lunch somewhere.
With the Broncos on the phone?
Maybe so. Yeah.
Hey, D'Amico, are all these press conferences going to start at 59, or is this a one-time gimmick?
It took me a second to realize it, like why it was 59. I was like, wait a second. Was D'Amico number 59? Of course D'Amico is number 59. You know, it's not great for radio, though. It's not great for radio to do it at the 59.
No, they'll carry the press conference. We'll be on the air at 3:59 tomorrow.
I know.
We'll make it work.
I know, but it will make it work, but you're kind of making it difficult for us. We would really appreciate the top of the hour instead of the 59.
Since the 3 isn't irrelevant, I mean, I would have done it at like 1:59.
That's just mean.
No, it isn't. It's selfish. I want it during our show. So yeah. We can react to it first.
Yeah, we'll react to it on Friday. We'll react to it on Friday. You know one thing though that I'm not looking forward to? I'll be completely honest with you. I'm very happy D'Amico's here. Second candidate on my list. Very, very happy with D'Amico, the fan interest. I'm excited for D'Amico Ryans as the head coach of the Houston Texans. I haven't felt this excitement for the Houston Texans in a very, 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 very long time. I am already dreading the D'Amico won the press conference reaction we're going to get. Because Lovie Smith won a press conference a year ago. We all know that D'Amico Ryan's going to win a press conference this year. I just hope that the fire sirens don't go off at NRG Stadium this time around.
Well, I'm sure that they're going to be playing football time in Texas at some point.
Man. Remember that last year? Like, yeah. they were throwing a parade for Lovie really Smith's press conference.
Well, again, they had to, right?
And they fired him in a year.
They had to because they knew what – they thought that they were being so coy and smart – when we knew everything that they did was a knee-jerk reaction to what Brian Flores did.
That made me so mad.
We are at the point now where people understand that winning press conferences doesn't matter, right?
Well, to some.
Okay.
There's a lot of blue Kool-Aid consumers out there that still believe that that's a part of the whole thing.
Winning a press conference matters.
Some people do.
Watch the Eagles' introductory press conference of Nick Sirianni. Watch those wide bug eyes.
Adam Gase.
He did. Yeah. But Sirianni's his press conference might have been worse, and they're playing in the
Super Bowl. I don't think anything could have been worse than Adam Gase's entire eyes was as uncomfortably awkward as I've ever seen.
But that one actually was a parallel. Like, he lost the press conference and then he lost. Where Sirianni lost the press conference and then he won. Although Sirianni rubs me the wrong way. I don't like that.
Mine too.
Yeah, I'm not a fan.
He's just a massive crap talker and cussing at fans.
And I think he does it to live the gimmick.
I think he's just kind of bought in.
I find it to be a little fraudulent.
Yeah, I mean, also, like, if you start to lose, you lose your job pretty quick.
Yeah, I think it's very gimmicky.
The whole Frank Reich thing, too, in Indy was, like, a little much.
I think he's got a little Pat Beverly where he's trying to live the gimmick.
I think you're right.
What do you want to know from D'Amico tomorrow? Look, I think press conferences are fun. Like, it's good to get some content. It's good to get some information, like, if there's really, pertinent information. But any sort of, like, winning the press conference is the most overrated thing ever. And look, I can already tell you right now, D'Amico's going to win the press conference. D'Amico's won the press conference before the press conference even started.
Happy to be here. This was my dream job. Can't wait to get started.
I don't think he's going to be boring, though. I don't think he's going
to
be
dry. But I'm saying he doesn't have to say more than that, and he wins it.
Exactly. Like, he could no-show, and he won the press conference. 8863, I would ask him what would be his process in evaluating draft picks. Has there been discussions as to how much say he would have with draft picks? See, this is a fascinating conversation that I don't think would be answered publicly. Right. Like, I really want to know, and we might figure it out in hindsight, like after the draft, how much influence D'Amico Ryans has. But, like, Nick Caserio had the quotes of saying that I'm excited to be D'Amico's partner, paraphrasing a bit. But they're going to be a partner in the team build of this organization. When they're on the clock at number 2, when they're discussing whether to trade up, to trade down, when they're on the clock at number 12, I wonder how much sway and influence, 1, D'Amico Ryans is going to have, and then 2, how much he wants to have. There's a lot of head coaches that are like, hey, this is my philosophy, find some players that fit that philosophy, but really don't want to take a part in the draft.
Well, remember Lovie celebrating with Caserio last year when they got,
But like, coaches go the like opposite ways, though. There's some that are like, hey, look, I really don't care to scout college players. This is the type of players that I want. Yeah. You go get them. And then you have the Bill Parcells where I want to buy the groceries. I'm curious to see where D'Amico's at on that, you know, that level, that
I would hope he's hands-on enough to want to be in the room.
Like, I think he'll be in the room for sure.
I don't think he obviously has to get involved in the offensive side of the ball as much, but I'd want my OC in there. You know, but from a defensive perspective, that's a little different. I think that he would, I would think he wants a say on that, mm-hmm. and he wants his input. It's the same way Rick Smith turned it over to Wade when they drafted JJ, when they said, we need help on defense. The draft is yours, essentially, especially the first round pick. Go get who you want.
See, that's smart GMing.
It is.
Because if you have a dude that's calling that side of the ball, and you're, let's just say that you're Casario and you're deciding, let's say at 12, you're deciding between three different players. D'Amico, which of these three fits your team the best? I like player B. Cool. Player B is our pick. Like, mm-hmm. that's the way that I find the alignment between head coach and general manager.
Here's one that I would be curious about, and I don't know how or if he would answer it, but it kind of goes back to what Sean Payton was saying when he was going through the process. And that is, did you have any discussions with any current players on the Texans roster or to kind of figure out who they were, where they're coming from, and what they're about before you took the job? Because I would think that, especially from a Petrie perspective, right? You want to talk to a guy like that, or Christian Harris, or some of the young guys, Stingley for sure. You know, I would think that you want to see, you know, Stingley and understand his comfort level with, you know, zone and man, and if he really was adamant about playing man, which I would assume he would be, and you know, kind of talking to him about how he fits best and what he wants to do as a coach. But I would be curious to see if part of the process was, one, obviously evaluating who he already had on the roster, but then did he have any discussions with any of them? Because that's what Peyton had kind of indicated. I want to sit down, when he was with Cowherd, I want to sit down and have some conversations with the guys on the team I might be coaching so that I know more than I need, at least I know what I'm getting into before I get into it.
Did he say the players, though?
Yeah. It was kind of as it related to a Texans-based question, but he was like, I want to sit down, I would like to sit down and have some conversations with some of the players so I learn what I need to know before I take the job and then have to try and find some things out.
I would tend to doubt that he talked to any of the players. D'Amico with the Texans.
Because he tipped his hand?
No, just because I don't feel like any of the players have that much sway, to be honest with you.
Like,
he's not taking over. He's not taking a team over that has an Aaron Rodgers. Like, name, who's the biggest, like, name on this team that's going to have sway and influence? Maybe Laramie Tunsil, but I'm not worried about Laramie
Tunsil.
That's
offense too, so.
You know what I mean? Like,
might not be here long term.
Right, sure. Exactly. Like, in any of these rookies, like, they're not going to have more influence than D'Amico Ryans. He's not taking a job that has an Aaron Rodgers, a Tom
His
Brady.
His would be more like how their openness and their attitude towards playing different schemes and defense a multitude of different ways, because he's obviously going to be, you know, have a set plan.
Right, but if Derek Stingley Jr. tells you, like, I'm not too fond of that, you're not going to take the job?
No, I'm not saying you're not going to take the job, but you know going into it, I might have to work a little harder, or I might have some issues on my hands with so-and-so, because he might not be as open to doing what I want to do.
Right, yeah, which I mean...
Because I see your point, you're right. If you had, like, a loaded team, like, obviously if Peyton's going to Denver, he should have some conversations with Russ. Because he needs to know if Russ is open to kind of doing the things he wants to do to try and save Russ, but also make sure he looks good as the new head coach of the Denver Broncos, and he's a veteran.
See, that's probably like one of the things where Denver, you're like, do I want to work alongside of Russell Wilson? And then he has the huge contract where you're pot committed.
I got to believe they spoke.
D'Amico and Russ?
No, Peyton and Russ.
Well, I mean, Peyton said that Russ called him.
Okay.
Or if he either said that or Cowherd said that. Cowherd said that.
Whether I didn't, that's the first time I heard that. But even if I didn't hear that, before I take that job, with as much money as committed and how the organization is committed to this dude, we got to have at least a conversation.
Cowherd said that Russ called Peyton and said he wanted to work with him. Okay. Like, and that was early in the process. Patty says, question for D'Amico. Now, this is your team. What are your top three priorities to turn this team around? I think it's a good question. I think he's probably going to answer with the whole, like, we got to play hard, we got to get good players in here, blah, 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 blah.
Create a culture.
Culture is always a key buzzword, which I do believe in. 7777 with a question. Did Denver lie about making offer, and how much was it? I would be very fascinated to hear D'Amico Ryans answer that question. I don't know if he would answer that question, but I would love to hear that question asked to D'Amico.
Since we had the conversation yesterday, with conspiracy theories all over on the table and between the two biggest gossipers in the NFL and Schefter and Rappaport, it behooves us to ask the question, if one of the reasons why we were picking apart the way the Texans announced what they did was, did Denver try to make a last-ditch effort to get into the process, and did it translate to a discussion with the Texans?
Who do you believe in that fight, by the way? Ian Rappaport or Adam Schefter?
I tend to believe Rappaport now than Schefter, because of the fact that I always believed Schefter until I realized he can be bought this summer.
Yeah, I'm on Team Rappaport on that.
Yep.
I think it was Rappaport. I think because
Schefter looked like he was doing somebody else's dirty work by cleaning it up, whereas yeah. Rappaport had nothing to lose and just reported what he supposedly heard.
Yeah, Rappaport said that the Broncos were making a last-ditch effort at D'Amico Ryans, offered him tons of money, and D'Amico turned him down. I tend to believe it. It does.
It makes sense from our conversation yesterday about why. Why did they announce what they did? Why didn't they have a deal done after they talked? And it could be that Denver tried to butt in at the last minute and try and get their guy.
And the whole Sean Payton timing, too, where like it basically got announced at almost the same exact time. Sean Payton came out a little bit sooner.
And Schefter even tried to walk that back.
It tracks. It tracks. 713-780-ESPN, the HRP listener line, 713-780-3776. What everybody else is saying about the hire of D'Amico Ryans. Travis Johnson later on in the show as well, former teammate with D'Amico Ryans. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
All teams covered, no talking points necessary. You're back with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
8755, I'm also curious if former teammates like Andre, JJ, Jonathan Joseph helped convince Ryans to take the head coaching job.
Was Arian Foster involved at all? I saw him trending.
Arian Foster was trending because he said that football was rigged in the most obvious spoof of a segment that I've ever seen, and people were falling for it.
Okay, I didn't know that.
Because I saw the headline at first, and I thought he was going to be, like, legit. And then I got 3 seconds into the segment that they were doing, and I was like, this is Saturday Night Live. Like, this is a spoof. And people are taking it so seriously. It's hilarious.
Okay, I didn't realize that. But
that's why he was trending.
But I was just curious if he was involved in the process, too.
I don't think Arian Foster is really part of the Houston Texans family.
Well, there was a divorce of sorts.
Yeah.
But I think that this, if you are truly going back to the heyday, whether he was involved to encourage the Texans or not, I'm sure he has opinions, and I'm sure that he has to like this move because he played with a guy at a time when everybody was big on D'Amico.
He probably likes the move, but I just don't think Arian Foster is part of the Texans family. Like, no, I don't think he's tight with the players.
Agree with that.
Like he's almost like an enigma even within the Texans circle. Like I've back in the Highway to Hell with Smitty and Trap, actually, we had him in studio. I spent 30 minutes with Arian Foster, and he just feels like an enigma. Where he's he's his own self. Like he's kind of weird, to be honest. I mean, I dig it, but he's kind of weird. I think he's just so far outside of it. As far as the former teammates affecting the D'Amico, I really don't think so. I don't think that they had much sway or input in the hiring.
I think there was a discussion with JJ.
And what?
Like, with Cal. Just to kind of, if nothing else, because JJ has obviously seemed to step away from his Arizona Cardinal ties. He is showing his true colors, and he's back on board with the Texans. And again, going back to them saying that they were going to tap into resources that maybe they haven't done in the past, or maybe because they could. But I would think that Cal might have just at least had a conversation with JJ about his thoughts about D'Amico and then how it translates to being a potential head coach.
Maybe so. I just feel like they had D'Amico inside from the moment they fired Lovie,
and
they didn't need any sway. Like, there's probably conversations along the way just to, like, confirm things and all of that, but I really don't think it had much influence ultimately.
But I go back to, like, I'm not going to be the guy that makes the difference between the Rockets trading for Clyde Drexler or not, but Rudy had a private one-on-one with me, and we had a long discussion about intel and everything that I could tell him about my experiences with Clyde and Portland and otherwise.
Yeah.
And so I don't think JJ's going to sway it, but if you can, while there's still time on the clock, it's in your best interest to kick the tires with everybody that might have had any kind of path crossing with a guy that you're considering giving a job of this magnitude to.
Yeah, they asked me if they should hire Kelvin whenever they hired him. I said, yeah.
There you go again. All right.
Where do I go with what? I'm teasing. Take a joke. 713-780-ESPN. Here's what everybody else is saying about the hire. This one is interesting to me because he's employed by the Houston Texans. John Harris, football analyst for the Houston Texans. Really good things to say about D'Amico, but the part where he talked about like the dysfunction in the past, I thought was weird. Here was John Harris from Mobile, Alabama.
And I know there's been a lot. In fact, there were people here in Mobile the last few years, like, well, why would he want to go there? This functional Texans, man, those days are hopefully behind us. because the last 3 years, I said this in my tweet last night, the last 3 years have been about as difficult as anything I can imagine. And I went 0-10 my junior year at Brown. I would have much rather gone through that year 100 times over compared to what we've been through the last 3 years. D'Amico's the right guy at the right time, and it's the right city, and we are so ready for it.
It's weird to me that Harris, who's like, I love John Harris. One of the best times I ever had doing radio was doing a draft show with John Harris. But he's flat out said the last 3 years have been awful. Like, it is weird to hear from somebody in the organization honest saying the last 3 years have been awful.
Now, is he on the Texans payroll?
Yeah. He's employed by the Houston Texans.
That's the biggest thing right there. Because, you know, look, coming from when you work for the team, especially in my role being on the air as well, there were just things you knew not to say. You might have known them to be true. You just don't translate them to what you say with a microphone. So that is a bit surprising.
Which like a lot of people were upset the other day when Florio called the Houston Texans a dysfunctional franchise. An employee of the Houston Texans just told you the last 3 years have been a dysfunction, which is, it's true. Like, it's true. Like, this is why the hiring of D'Amico Ryans is such a positive thing, because you think that you're turning the page from the dysfunction.
Well, and not that it's gone that far to where, I don't know what levels conversations have had, if any, in terms of the true kind of plan that's going behind this reboot of the Houston Texans organization. But I would think at a certain point you sit down with your broadcasters. I don't know if you say, hey, look, it's okay now to talk about the past and just give your honest feelings because we're turning over a new leaf. We're starting a new chapter. We're going to do things differently now. So that's not going to bother us. Now, we've had those conversations with our broadcast teams when we've done certain things in the organization, trying to be ahead of things. I don't know if the Texans did that or not, but
I've noticed since they let go of Easterby that any sort of sensitivity has been gone. Like, I've
the highway to hell has been a lot more true feelings of individuals than it has been a company line.
That started before Easterby because, quite honestly, people stopped taking them seriously.
Yeah, they called BS. They're like, come on, stop it.
They stopped taking them seriously because it's like, dude, you're lying to us. So, like I got reprimanded once for saying they cut Foreman. Well, they cut Deontay Foreman, and I got called mid-segment. No, don't talk about that. Don't say anything about Foreman. I called out Jack Easterby when they first hired him. It was like, they're letting the pastor run the organization. Like, oh, you can't say that. You can't say that. And then all of a sudden, they're bashing Cal. Like, it's because people stopped taking them seriously.
I think everyone knew survival. That, like, it's gone too far. Like, it just, what happened over the last 3-4 years is just, it's a joke. Right. I mean, you put a pastor as your GM after you fired Bill O'Brien, you let Bill O'Brien trade one of the best players in franchise history for a second-round pick in David Johnson. You let DJ Reader go. He nearly just went to his second Super Bowl making impact plays left and right. You pissed off your franchise quarterback before he was a pervert, or while he was a pervert, before everyone else knew, and he wanted out of town. Like, everything that could have gone wrong. The Texans,
time out. You forget the fact that in certain cases, it was brought up that he helped facilitate it and knew about it by getting the rooms and the deal with the Houstonian that allowed your pervert quarterback to do his massages.
Yeah, it's just it was the most dysfunctional franchise in the NFL, and there's a lot of ones that are just as dysfunctional in different ways. But the Texans just, they misstepped every single time. Like, everything they did, they got wrong. The Watts, like the Laremy Tunsil trade, they could have had the third pick in the draft.
Right. Yep, exactly.
Like, the Dolphins turned that into Jalen Waddle and Tyreek Hill and someone else. Like, it's just, they blew it.
That's when the guy called me out for saying Texans are going to Texan. There's just far too many examples of the Texans Texaned again.
You shouldn't let that guy bother you.
I'm just talking about the fact that it's there's no way you can escape the fact that became a thing because of how many missteps this organization made.
No doubt. And like, that's kind of like why I like that Harris soundbite, because he gets checks from Cal McNair. He gets checks from the Texans, and they're flat out being honest that the last few years have been a debacle. They've been dysfunctional, and they're turning a new page, which is good. It's a good thing. It's not critical at all. Marcus Spears talking about the D'Amico Ryans hire. Remember, the national perspective was not so good when they fired Lovie Smith. Here was Marcus Spears on the D'Amico hire.
And I'm excited about that. I'm excited about D'Amico Ryans shifting the culture in Houston. Because, look, regardless of what fans think and people know, us three sitting here and Kevin Negandhi, we know the type of conversation and connotation that goes on around the Houston Texans organization and when they hire coaches. This is a different day in Houston. And hopefully, we can see that manifest in D'Amico having a lot of success, but also this organization starting to kind of right itself with the black community when it comes to football, but also how they've been going about their business for the last few years of hiring black coaches that were set up to fail.
I don't really care about the national opinion. I don't really care about anybody's opinion, but especially the national opinion.
I live that.
And now, I mean, they were crushing the Texans 3 weeks ago when they fired Lovie. The Texans, they've turned a new leaf. That resonates. That actually matters, I think, to the Houston Texans.
I have no doubt it does. And it goes back to my theory on the imaging, on the way that they want to do things, on the way they want to be perceived to have done things. And it bothers them when they get called out. And it bothers them when they get made to look like they've made their bed to look like. And so I think that, yes, I think it does quietly behind the scenes. It was notated. And I think that all of these things are also notated as well, that, hey, people just, it's working. I think that's what the conversations are internally. It's working. We're getting people to see we're turning the corner. We're doing things differently. That it's a new day in Houston Texans history, and it's going to be positive this time.
One more from Ryan Clark, your guy. You love Ryan Clark.
Yes,
he's your man crush Monday. This was someone else that was crushing the Texans a few weeks ago, and totally different tone after they hired D'Amico.
The thing is this, too. Like, absolutely. When you look at a guy, and y'all know this, I don't want somebody nobody else wants. Right? David Culley wasn't about to be a coach in the NFL, mm-hmm. right? Lovie Smith wasn't about to get another head coaching job. This is a dude that other teams want. Mm-hmm. This just wasn't just the Houston Texans saying, oh, I've identified this guy and I think he can coach. No, this is D'Amico Ryans. This is the coach of the number one defense in the entire NFL. This is a guy that was coveted by other organizations. So getting him is a win for us.
Yep.
We won this time in getting this coach. He's going to be here with me. He's going to help a young Derek Stingley grow. He's going to help a young Petrie at safety grow. He's going to help whatever quarterback we get an opportunity to draft grow. That's important.
It's weird hearing that from Ryan Clark after he just bashed the Texans 2 weeks ago for firing Lovie, 3 weeks ago for firing Lovie.
You know
Smith.
Why, though?
Oh, the Texans are terrible. Oh, they're great. They hired D'Amico.
But you know why?
Everyone thought they were going to hire Josh McCown.
But here's the thing.
Yeah.
On the flip side of that, I don't think Ryan Clark or anybody that was an NFL experienced player, analyst, whatever, thought that they had a snowball's chance in hell of getting D'Amico Ryans.
Yeah.
So I think that's maybe why he's changed his tune.
Wasn't it Stephen A. Smith that said that black coaches should stay away from the Texans?
Yes, 100%.
Yeah.
It was Stephen
A. I mean, that was 3 weeks ago.
But I'm also saying Ryan Clark also sat back saying, well, Stephen A. can say that. And,
I think
and
Ryan
I can
Clark
agree.
Said something similar, too.
Yeah, he did.
But
I'm going to be watching this very closely.
But I think that from a Ryan Clark and others' perspective, there's like, ain't no way they're going to get another black coach to go there, but they're definitely not going to get the number one coach on the coaching search this go-round.
They've made the best coach in hire by far. It's better than
Frank Reich. Yeah.
And they didn't give up a first and a second.
And $20 million a year.
At least.
And no one hired Sean Ben Johnson, so that's the big factor here. Because if somebody hired Ben Johnson, that team would have made the best hire.
We both said that.
713-780-ESPN, the HRP listener line, 713-780-3776. Tom Brady, he's retiring. Or is he? Skiller B's on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Many people call Tom Brady the GOAT, the greatest of all time. Well, so is Pro Dunk. We all know Pro Dunk. They make the highest quality basketball goals you'll find. They are the very best. Tempered glass backboard, whenever you're having a, you know, kissing a layup off the glass, gives you that true authentic feel. Sometimes you might miss a shot. Well, it gives you that true authentic feel. Sturdy and strong as well from Pro Dunk. Thick steel pole, stainless steel hardware. It's unlike anything else that you'll find in the big box stores. They are built to last. Height adjustable, anywhere from 5 feet to 10 feet. Lower it down, throw down some jams, raise it up to regulation, work on your shot. If you are throwing down some slams, keep in mind they have that breakaway rim. It's perfect for dunking, perfect for hanging, perfect for keeping you safe. Also, their accessories are next level. Why stop hooping whenever the sun goes down? They have LED light kits for night play. You can play around the clock. Backstop nets as well keeps the basketball from rolling away. And pole pad lettering, their accessories are great. You can order everything, too, including professional installation. You can do it all online at ProDunk.com. But yes, the pros at ProDunk Hoops will come out, professionally install your goal. They do it at the perfect height. It's perfectly straight. You don't have to worry about screwing it up because the pros at Pro Dunk are doing all of the work for you. You don't install. Let the pros do all of it for you. It's as easy as 1-2-3. Give them a call at 281-351-9822 and visit ProDunk.com. That's ProDunk.com.
You're listening to The Killer Bees with Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
Tom Brady has retired again. He's retired Tom Brady from the NFL. Greatest football resume of all time. Here was the video that Tom Brady posted to announce his retirement. So the Schefters, the Rappaports couldn't screw it up. Tom Brady earlier this morning announcing his retirement from the NFL.
Good morning, guys. I'll get to the point right away. I'm retiring for good. I know the process was a pretty big deal last time, so when I woke up this morning, I figured I'd just press record and let you guys know first. So I won't be long-winded. Like, you only get one super emotional retirement essay, and I used mine up last year. So really thank you guys so much to every single one of you for supporting me, my family, my friends, my teammates, my competitors. I could go on forever. There's too many. Thank you guys for allowing me to live my absolute dream. I wouldn't change a thing. Love you all.
There you go.
Does that include Jim Gray?
Tom Brady. Probably.
He loves Jim Gray.
Do you think he's done?
I do. I do. I think that he had every reason to just kind of wait it out. And if he wanted to play, you know, at least let free agency begin and see what was going on and check the landscape and then be able to make a decision. But I think that what he did when he did it and the fact he did it this early, sure, he could do it again, but I don't think he is. I think that because he's done this once, I don't think he would dare try and do it again. Now, could he be coerced? Maybe. But, I mean, I don't understand why he would. You think he would drag it out longer if he was on the fence?
I think February 1st is a look. I mean, he did this last year where he retired for a little bit and then came back. I think that right now he's done with football. Once training camp rolls around, I think he probably starts to feel a little bit of an urge to come back. I do think he's done, though. He really wasn't very good this year in Tampa Bay. He had a sub-500 season. He got, you know, humiliated out of the playoffs. They got crushed in that game against the Cowboys. I think he is done. I really do. I don't think that Tom Brady comes back. But if I'm two people, I'm kind of upset by this. The first one's Giselle. Like, if I'm Giselle, Tom Brady came out of retirement, we think probably broke up their marriage, so he could have a subpar season at the age of 45 for a team that lucked into the playoffs with a sub-500 record. I'd be ticked off if I'm Giselle. The second person that I would be I'd be mad at Tom Brady with right now is Kyle Shanahan. I wanted Jew to come over and be the quarterback for my team after Brock Purdy's going to need Tommy John surgery. So I do think that it's for real this time.
Josh
but if
McDaniel?
I'm Giselle, I'm not happy. And if I'm Kyle Shanahan, I'm not
Josh
happy.
Josh McDaniels ain't happy either.
Yeah, I just don't think the Raiders are going to be very good with Brady.
There's a lot of talent on that roster.
Yeah, I think Brady's not as good anymore. I think Josh McDaniels sucks.
Okay. I don't disagree with Josh McDaniels sucks, but when Josh McDaniels didn't get looked at as being Suck City, it was because he had Tom Brady. Mm-hmm. So I think that he thought if he could resurrect and saved his career in Las Vegas, it might be because of Tom Brady too, so I'd add him to the list. I think from Giselle, she's moved on to her yoga coach or whatever it is, and they're touring the world.
How long have they known each other?
I don't know, but because I the first thing that I had guys in the gym saying to me, you think he gets back with Giselle now? I'm like, I think she's already moved on.
Moved on too. He's got a girl.
So, well, okay, I didn't know that. But
yeah, he's got a girl.
I just think that the one thing for me, it wasn't about money because he's going to have oodles of money waiting for him at Fox.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that you could have gone out, you know, everybody says he's the GOAT, but everybody also says it's like the ultimate Cinderella story, coming from where he was drafted and what he looked like at the combine to what he was able to do and leaving the game as the ultimate champion and the best quarterback maybe to ever play the game, and then look at it and say, and I could have walked away after winning a Super Bowl. I could have walked away on top, the ultimate champion, with the final, you know, notch on the resume to say, I did it without Bill, I did it in a different city, and yet he comes back and he goes through this. I think that's the only thing that if I'm Tom Brady and I look back, I said, well, I could have, if I could have done anything differently And obviously knowing what he knows now, I would have just skipped this whole debacle this last year because you had to know it was coming. You saw these guys, the offensive linemen, started either go to other destinations, retire and walk away from the game. You knew that your skill position players were older and not and more down the hill than they were heading towards their peak. I think that that's the one way where he could have walked away with just the ultimate career of a life of tons of lifetimes, of centuries maybe.
Yeah, but he also made lots of money in the final year.
But he's going to make
blame him for that.
Yeah, but he's going to make even more with Fox.
You think?
He's going to make $300-some million to talk once a week.
But not the AAV. Like, I mean, he made tons of money. And that deal wasn't going away. Like, he wasn't
right,
losing
it was still,
that.
Yeah,
yeah, he's still getting that deal as soon as his retirement is done. I mean, you're right, though. He's not losing any. He's not going to be hurting for finances. I do think it is for real this time. I do think Tom Brady is done. Not Santa saying that. I always believed that Tom Brady unretired last year because he was ticked off that Adam Schefter broke the news of his first retirement. You think that's true?
No. Yeah, I don't think a guy thinks about it to that level. I don't think they go to that many layers in and thinks that's the reason why. I think that short of him going on with Jim Gray to, I'm sure he probably felt kind of bad about the way he kind of handled it the way he did with Jim Gray. But I am also curious of whether that was on the table as to what we were going to talk about the day that they did the podcast. But I think that Tom did it his way, the way he always did. And that was he was big on social media about posting his vids and doing the things from his crazy outlandish, do you believe he did that on the golf course kind of thing, to just other ways he used that platform, that he did it this way. And I think because he did it this way and it seemed to be, and he's done it once before. I think that's the other thing. He's done it once before and changed his mind. I don't think he's going to be like the Eagles and have like 16 farewell tours.
He might.
He doesn't need the money. It would have to be the ideal. The only thing would be if you get a Niners team that's close to a Super Bowl and they lose the guy that they picked to be the guy next year.
Yeah.
Maybe somewhere into this. He's not going to go through training camp with anybody.
No, but look, February 1st and how you're feeling is a lot different than how you're feeling on August 1st.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like you start, oh, man, I kind of miss training. Oh, I think I got one more year left in me. It's easy to retire on February 1st. It's hard to stay retired on August 1st.
Well, I think the bigger thing is, the only thing that you could do now with the legacy that you've cemented is you can change the final chapter one more time. So if you can be the hero one more time and also in a way escape the way you walked away from the game, come back and be the savior and win yet another one, then you could, or have the chance to win another one, then you could think about it. But you would also I'm sure he would work really hard to make sure, hey, this isn't me. Because remember, it happened with what's the offensive lineman? Whitworth.
Yeah.
How many times during the course of the season when he retired this year did you hear the Cowboys and the Bengals and everybody saying, hey, there's a chance. We're going to call him. You know, blah, 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 blah.
Right. Who was, like, does this, is the retirement, I don't know the answer to this. Is there any way that it's calculated, like, with his contract and ways that he becomes, like, eligible for other teams? Like, is that in play at all?
He's going to be a free agent, and there's no way that Tampa could franchise tag him because that was part of the agreement. So I don't think that it would affect him in any way, shape, or form.
I wouldn't think so either. Like, I was trying to think if...
unless he signs retirement papers, he can say he's retiring, but unless he goes through the formalities of signing paperwork, and even still,
right.
If he changes his mind, he changes his mind because he's not committed on the dotted line to another team.
I did think about that. Like, is there any way that this is a calculated, strategic thing from Brady? But like you said, he's free.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't affect the finances anywhere. We would have already, I think, seen people talk about this and report this of like, hey, think about this. I don't think that exists. Someone texting in saying, I'm saying, 90% chance he comes back and plays for San Francisco. I think if there's any team at San Fran, because Brock Purdy,
they're ready to win.
TJ, and then who knows what they do with Trey Lance. 8029, now that Brady retired, when is Rodgers announcing his retirement?
Did you hear this after Tuesday? Rodgers is upset the Packers are having football conversations without him.
Yeah, I did.
I'm sorry, princess, but the bottom line is you don't know what the bottom line is. Until you make a decision, did you want everything to just halt? Did you want them to hit the pause button and no one do a thing on football unless they check with 12 and his crown and all of his set of stipulations? I mean, get over yourself. I mean, if you want to play, tell him. If you don't want to play there, tell him. If you want to quit, tell him. But stop telling Pat McAfee and his audience, hey, they're talking about football without me. I don't like that. God.
I think it's pretty clear he's coming back.
Too bad, so sad, princess. Move on.
I really wanted to move on to the Jets.
I know you do.
It kind of went a Super Bowl.
first of all, the gauntlet he'd have to go through. Too. Of course you do, because he owns your franchise.
Yeah, the most overrated franchise owns mine.
Green Bay's the most overrated franchise?
Two Super Bowls since the day I was born, and they've had a top 10 quarterback. How many
you got? Yeah, how many of the Bears
got? How many you got?
One appearance.
Uh-huh. Appearance. How many you got?
One.
They have the same
amount. How many
of
you won?
Zero.
You won. Your team has won the same amount of Super Bowls as my team.
Yeah.
You know, the Houston Cougars have never won a Super Bowl.
That's a fact.
Yeah.
That's a fact.
Be a bitter Bears fan all you want, but look,
I'm just saying the Packers are overrated.
That's not a bad take. In case we missed it, what are the stories that Brendan hasn't allowed us to get to that we've been dying to get to? It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.